Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome on this beautiful Sunday morning as we gather to praise God's wonderful name. A few announcements before we get started. Our elders will meet tomorrow at 7 as we gather to talk about all the wonderful things God is doing in our congregation. Please don't forget that this Sunday from noon to 2:30 is the chicken barbecue at Camp Zimmerman. So if you'd like to support the youth ministry going on out there, I know Tim Northrup is out there currently making great food for people and supporting a great cause. They're also bringing back food here for all those people interested. So if you're interested in doing that, feel free to give them a call, and I'm sure they'll be happy to set that up. The next men's breakfast will be held at Winfield United Methodist Church this coming Saturday. Those who are interested in carpooling can meet at Dover First at 8:15. Our next card party is on Monday, October 22nd. So if you signed up to bring anything to that, please make sure you remember that. And it is a great opportunity of fellowship in our church and a great chance to raise some of the much-needed funds to support our ministries. Our Halloween party will be from Saturday, October 27th, from 7 to 9. There's going to be music, games, snacks, costumes, and a fun time for all. And please don't forget, your newsletters for October are available. And then next Sunday, you'll have a wonderful worship opportunity that will be happening at Dover. They're doing a mission camp from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, and they're going to have a lot of great speakers there, including Bishop Chris Giesler, Bishop Doug Kleintop, many of you remember, who started out here at Schönbrunn, and a few other big figures in the Moravian Church. I encourage you, if that's something you're interested to check out. I'll even give you a permission slip to get out of worship here if you need to and you want to go check that. But even if you're worshiping with us, it's a program from 9 to 3, so if you worshiped with us, you could catch the rest of it from 12 to 3. I believe there's a meal where they are simulating a meal in one of our Latin American areas of the church. I'm not 100% sure. You'll have to look at the details of the flyer, but it is a good opportunity and one that does not come around often. Also, please don't forget we're hosting Equipping the Saints here on Saturday, November 10th from 9 to 1. Marie Coates is leading that. This is a great opportunity for those of you that have been placed in positions of leadership in this church, or for those of you who'd like to consider someday, how can I be a better leader? How can I be a better servant for my church? And those of you that have done anything with Marie know that she does a great job. I've already heard good feedback from Denny Roan about how these have gone in Pennsylvania. So this is a great opportunity right in our own backyard to participate in. Does anybody else have any other announcements at this time? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Patricia. Morning, Ange. Might need this today. Morning, Nick. Please remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week for this week. And our watchword this week comes from Hebrews 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. You may be seated. Please rise for the call to worship. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight.
The Word of God is alive and active.
Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence.
May we always be comforted by God's mercy and grace, and help us in our time of need.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing, He Leadeth Me.
Standing and join with me on the top of page 21, the Liturgy for Adoration. Glory be to you, Holy Spirit, our teacher, guide, and comforter.
We proclaim your righteousness and grace.
You pour out the love of God into our heart, into the hearts of all believers, and make their bodies your holy temple.
Us through the gospel and enlighten us with gifts of grace.
You dedicate us to God in the true faith, and you enable us to remain in union with Jesus Christ.
We pray to you together with the Father and the Son, now and forever.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought,
word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may live right in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
The Lord says, I, even I, am the God who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more. Please rise. Lord, make us truly one in spirit with all your faithful people as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made.
seated. Almighty God, for the opportunity to be used by you in the life of your church, for your use, for our use of your splendid gifts, for the joy of obedient service.
We dedicate ourselves to you.
For our creation and preservation, and for all the blessings of this life, for your immeasurable love and the redemption of the world by our Jesus Christ, for the fellowship and ministry of your body, the Church, for the opportunity of service in Christ's name through the power of the Holy Spirit, for your personal presence among us to guide and bless. For our congregation, that we may know and do your will. For our bishops, ministers, teachers, and leaders, that they may guide your people in the truth. For the peace of the world, and for the renewal of the whole church by the power of the Holy Spirit. For all who, in your name, work for justice, reconciliation, and peace.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our community, for the whole land, and for all who live in it. For the fruitfulness of the earth, and for the careful stewardship of our natural resources. For those who travel, for the poor, the homeless, and the imprisoned. For the afflicted, the persecuted, the abused, and those who face temptation, anger, or violence. For the sick and dying, and for the salvation of all.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Be gracious to us, for you alone are due all glory, honor, and praise. Please rise.
As we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering today, it's important to remember our gospel text, which reminds us the importance of not clamoring to our possessions, but to God, and there's no better place to show God our affection with him than showing how much we're willing to give from our heart, not only of our material blessings, but of our spiritual and personal blessings as well.
Please rise. Let us pray together. Holy Spirit,
we often cling to our possessions far more than we should. Help us to see that when we cling to you, we possess all that we need, and you will help us live our lives from a place of abundance.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. In our prayers, we offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Linda Pennington. She's a good friend of Linda Bonnell, Pennington with a P, but she's a close friend of Linda Bonnell and somebody they've grown close over the years, and we offer prayers not only for her, but for her family, and may God's love surround them at this time, and may they be comforted in that resurrection promise. We also pray for the family of Nick Winters, who would be a friend of Martha and Joe Dalcoma, who passed away in a car accident this week. And we certainly pray for that family, and especially in such a time of tragedy, may they be comforted with God's mercy and love in such a difficult time. And then also prayers for Don Cambon, who is in hospice care. He is a friend of Randy Weston. And we ask God also continues to surround him with love and comfort in such a vulnerable time. We consider also those who are in the path of Hurricane Michael or have been affected by Hurricane Michael. Death tolls are already in the 20s. So we continue to ask God to provide support for the first responders and for all those who will be there to remind people that God's present love will show up for them and they will continue to be supported through love and mission. And it seems fitting that today is the Moravian Prayer Day for World Mission. As we think about all these natural tragedies our country and our world has dealt with, as far as the hurricane we've had in North Carolina and the hurricane we've had in Florida, and also Indonesia, which has been devastated by a natural disaster, that there are many people throughout our world who have the courage to go to these places and provide the comfort and love that these people need. Also share some good news with you. Chris Johnson, who just left for Yerkesville in Fries Valley, she has accepted an appointment to Emmaus Moravian, which is right about 20 minutes from where Daryl is serving in Pennsylvania. That is a four-month appointment right now. She's just going to serve there until the next pastor is able to come in, but it gives her an opportunity to serve God, and I'm excited for that opportunity for her and to see what God will do in that congregation. Let us take a moment to quiet our hearts and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, most importantly, we thank you for the ever-changing seasons, because you have reminded us this week that you are an active God who is always present in our world and inviting some new and sometimes challenging changes. But dear God, help us to remember that your faithful presence will be with us in all of our life seasons, from our birth to our childhood to our adulthood to our welcoming into your heavenly home. The presence of God will never abandon us. We pray for the sick, the hungry, those who have had surgery, those who are recovering, those who are awaiting test results. There are so many things in our lives that we can be anxious and worried about. But you calm our hearts and remind us that no matter what happens, you will be with us. And we offer especially prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Linda Pennington
and Nick Winters, and so many other people who have been welcomed into your eternal home. Help us to remember that death ends a life and not a relationship, and the love that we receive will endure in all times, in all places. And as we go forth in our world this week, help us to be people that do not cling to our possession, who do not define ourselves by the cars we drive, the houses we live in, or the clothes we wear, but by the Savior that is on our hearts. May that love and mercy mark us in a world that desperately needs it. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture lesson of the day is from Psalms chapter 90, verses 12 through 17, which can be found on page 424 in your Pew Bible. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for the many days as you have afflicted us, as for the many years we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord your God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel today comes from Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 17 to 31, the rich and the kingdom of God. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or field for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last verse. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. Come on up. Good morning. So we're going to have, I promise this isn't going to be an entire show and tell day, but I'm going to have you guys do a little exercise for me.
So I'm going to show you some objects that are important to me and some that are kind of important, and you guys are going to be the judge at the end of this of what's most important. So this is a football that I have in my office that I play with, that I love to play with. It's squishy. I can throw it at things, and like when the Wisconsin Badgers are losing by 30 points to Michigan yesterday, this got thrown quite a bit around in my household. This is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. This was my favorite book growing up. It came out about probably when I was 9-10 years old, and this was one of the first books that I fell in love with, and I fell in love with this entire series. It has a lot of value to me. And for the sake of this exercise, we're going to pretend this is my dog, Kayla, who's over across the street. Now, this is the quietest some of you might have heard Kayla, because she loves to bark. But she is one of my favorite dogs. She is crazy, but she is fantastic. She has so much speed. I've never seen a dog that is so fast, and she's so protective of us. I really like that about her. And this is from my office. This is I always keep in my office. This is a picture from my wedding day that is very important to me. It reminds me of the special commitment that I made to my wife. So that's another very important object. And this, of course, is His Highness himself, Aaron Rodgers. So you see, his head's gotten a little big now that he's a Packer, but he appreciates all the love and the support that he gets. And this is a Brewers baseball bat that I got from one of the first Major League Baseball games I got to attend to. So it's not worth a whole lot, but it has a lot of sentimental value to me because I remember when my dad got me this bat. And now this is the Bible that was given to me. This is, you see, it's a little beat up. It's not in the best shape, but my mom gave me this Bible when she found out that I was going to be a pastor. So I've had this Bible with me when I've done weddings, when I've done funerals, when I've done baptism. There are a lot of memories in this Bible for me. And the last object I have in here is from my baseball collection. This is a signed baseball by Jay Bruce, which I got when he played for the Dayton Dragons. And this has a value for me because the first game, baseball game I saw in Ohio was when Jay Bruce hit the game-winning hit to preserve the Indians' longest winning streak. And so it's a really good reminder of a big moment that I got to see, and I got to see him when he was way down in the minor leagues and not as quite as famous as he is now. So your challenge today is your exercise is pretending, let's say that my house was on fire. You have to pick four objects that you would save that are important. What four objects would they be? And you got to work together as a group. I see you guys all just left Aaron Rodgers in there burning, huh? Okay, so explain to me, Paige, what objects did you pick and why? Mm-hmm. Yep, it's important to protect Jesus. Yeah, Nick? Why do you think that baseball would be important to me? Mm-hmm. So it may not have a lot of material value, but the value in my heart might be. Tyler, what'd you grab? Why is the football important? Because maybe, come with the ball. Maybe I've held this football in a lot of different big moments in my life. And some good moments, and when you're a Brewer and Packer fan, a lot of bad moments. But you hold this football in a lot of stressful times. So this football has been with me through a lot of times. Brandon, you picked a baseball bat. Why'd you pick the baseball bat? Just because you wanted to hold a baseball bat in church? That's pretty cool. That's good enough for me. So I'm going to turn this exercise around on me. It's what? It's something to hold. Yeah, it's something that you can protect. So if you asked me for this exercise, what are the four most important objects I could save in a fire? You know what they would be? Mm-mm. It'd be you, Brandon. It'd be you, Tyler. It'd be you, Nick. It'd be you, Paige. Because what we're learning in our gospel lesson today, because I asked you to pick the four important objects. I didn't say they had to be from the box. See, that's where the challenge is. Because what we're learning in our gospel lesson today is that our value as people, as humans, as children of God, is far more important than any of the objects we have. And you know something? If I lost any of these objects in a fire, I'd be very sad. But not nearly as sad as if I lost Emily or somebody else, because this is what we learn, that our value is far more important than anything we own. And I want you guys to remember that, because you're going to get a lot of different objects in your life, whether they're video game systems, whether they're outfits or clothing. But just remember that they're important, but not nearly important as the people around you. So let's put our objects back in the box. Thank you all very much for entertaining me. Let's get in our circle and say a prayer. Y'all get smarties because you did such a good job with that. Hold on, Brandon. We'll pray first, then we'll get smarties. How about that? I'll pray quick, I promise. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these kids and the wonderful energy and joy they bring to our worship, and help them to see that they are so valuable in your eyes. They are the most important objects we have. And help each one of us to remember that when we cling to what we own, the most important things we have are the people around us and the blessings they bring us. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Take your Smarties. You may remain seated as we join together to sing Abide With Me. That will be in your brown hymnal for those of you that are following along. Gracious God, open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words you have to say, and inspire us to carry those words in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. Amen. So the passage we have before us from Mark 10 is wrestling with the first commandment issue. You shall have no other gods before me. The man in this passage has put his material possessions above his ability to follow God. It is something we always do. Greed and jealousy are human emotions that are as old as Cain and Abel. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how do we keep our selfish emotions from creating roadblocks on our path to discipleship? And I think the first and foremost thing is we have to see that our possessions are not nearly as important as you think. As you saw the exercise we did in our children's lesson, I think a family that has gone through any tragedy, like a fire, realizes that houses can be rebuilt, possessions replaced, but the people around us cannot. Bishop John Amos Comenius of the Early Unity of the Brethren wrote a wonderful book called Labyrinth of the World and Paradise of the Heart. And in this book, Comenius follows a pilgrim who learns not to put his trust in what people of the world value. In fact, in this story, the pilgrim runs into a wealthy man, and he expects this man to be the happiest man in the world, the man who has it all figured out. But what the pilgrim sees very quickly is that this man is tied to his possessions, that he is enslaved by his possessions, always looking for the next thing to add to his chains, which enslave him even further. And Comenius said, "In all the works and human striving I observe, below, I have never seen anything more miserable than such perceived happiness. I've never seen anything more miserable than such perceived happiness." And I think I've shared this next story with you before, but it's one that rings true for me and that I share quite a bit. But the story of Socrates, the philosopher, visiting the Greek marketplace. And for those of you that know Socrates, Socrates was committed to living a life of poverty, to be poor, to never own any possessions. But one of his favorite things to do was to walk up and down the Greek marketplace. And this kept all of his followers very befuddled and wondering what he was doing. Because he had no money, he would never buy anything. And so somebody asked him, "Socrates, why do you do this?" And he looked them in the eyes and he said, "I love to see all of the possessions that I am happy without. I love to see all the things that I do not need to be happy." And I think about, would that be a useful exercise today in our generation? Maybe perhaps after worship today, we'd go to the car lot and we test drive a 2018, maybe that Mercedes LX that Denny Roan has in his back pocket, a beautiful car, just a wonderful car. And you'll see a lot of wonderful features. The seats are actually turned so that when you turn, the seats turn with you. The first time I got to drive in one of those cars, I thought I broke the seat. But it turns out that the seat was just maneuvering me in different places. And you have the heated seats, and you have all the mileage things, and the built-in GPS, and the drive assist. But I guarantee you drive in that car, and you figure out within 5 minutes that the car that you have, the car that you put your key in the ignition as, can get you from A to B just the same as that fancy Mercedes LX 2018. And unlike my 2001 Chevy Malibu, it doesn't rely on natural air conditioning like I do, which is rolling down the window now because the air conditioner no longer works. But you will see that car, no matter how much money you invest in a car, any car can get you where you need to be. And then I also challenge you to go to an open house at the most expensive house you can find and see all the wonderful amenities it has. I'm sure you will see quickly that the attributes that make a house a home aren't the number of rooms, the number of fireplaces, the style of the kitchen, but it has to do with the people who occupy the home and the love they share. Because you can find as much spiritual value in an impoverished hut as a lavish mansion. And you can also find as much emptiness in a mansion as you can find anyplace else, because it is the people and not the objects that make a house feel like a home. The people and not the objects. That is the message that Christ carries for us. And the important thing to remember from this lesson about not putting our possessions first from Jesus is to remember that in death we take no material possessions with us. There are no endowment funds or savings accounts, waiting for us at the pearly gates. And it's important to remember God's words to Samuel. What the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on our hearts." And this is important in our Moravian theology, our Moravian beliefs. This is why in traditional Moravian God acres, which are our burial sites, excuse me, that's what Moravians called burial sites back in the 1700s, but in our God acres, all the gravestones are the same size, and they face the east to welcome the rising sun. And that's not just the S-U-N, but that's the S-O-N, to face the rising sun on the day that Jesus returns. And I guarantee you, God will look upon each of us the same, regardless of wealth, fame, or personal reputation. We enter this world the same as we leave it, with nothing but our hearts to offer. And that's important to remember when we cling to all those possessions that we have. And what amazes me most in this passage that we have today, that God told this man that there is just one thing he lacks, one. I don't know about you, but when I think about all the things that I lack before God, that list gets pretty big once in a while, about all the things, that laundry list that I can tell you where I fall short and where I need to do better. And I have to face the truth when I think about the story of this man. That I make more time in my life for sports games, watching television, playing games on my phone than I do for cultivating my relationship with God. And many of you know how passionately I've been following my Milwaukee Brewers as they try to get to the World Series since the first time I've been alive. And I have to tell you the truth, that if Jesus came to me on game 7, I would tell him to wait 4 hours and come back later. And we have to accept that in order to realize that, because so many of us don't realize how addicted we are to some of our possessions. I mean, you talk about, those of you that have been to Tar Hollow, you know the first day or two that actually the kids decide, not the adults, to not have cell phones that week. And you can see all the kids and all the adults have withdrawal those first couple days because you're used to your phone, your pants vibrating, or you're used to just being naturally texting somebody. And it's amazing that all of us need some time to decompress from that. But it's a reminder that we should not cling to that possession. That a phone is a useful tool if we use it like a tool, but if we worship it, if it becomes 16 hours a day, our focus, then it becomes an idol. And there are so many times God gets the short end of the stick with regard to so many things in our lives. But the remarkable thing is God never returns an eye for an eye with the loving presence our Lord and Savior offers us. God is always present with us on our faith journeys. No matter how far down on the priority list we may have God, God always has us at the top. And this teaching from Christ teaches us the importance of recognizing our own shortcomings as well. There are some commandments for each of us that are more difficult to follow than others. And a self-righteous person judges, sees the commandments they can keep as the holy and important ones. But the ones they struggle with, those just aren't important commandments. Those are the old ones, the ones that shouldn't be on our hearts and minds. And they push them off on the wayside. But a true disciple of Jesus recognizes there is no scale and realizes their sins are just as painful to God as anyone else's. And furthermore, it is not just the rich that make idol out of their possessions,
We all do it. We all find ways to push God down on our priority list. However, God is relentless with the grace he provides each one of us with. And God's mercy and love has been poured out for us in the love that is shared with us, by Jesus Christ. God's mercy and love has been poured out for us in the love that is shared with us by Jesus. So I want you to look at the man in this passage. Do you want to be obsessed and saddened by what you are unable to give God? Do you want to spend your whole life focused on that one thing you can't do? Or do you want to look at the thousands and thousands of things that you can do for God? Because perhaps the time has come to trust that everything from God can't be weighed or measured or counted by man. Everything we need of value from God can be found in our most faithful and trusting hearts. And remember, God sees you the same way that he saw you when you were born and when you were died. God will look upon that heart, as he told Samuel. And when we stop holding things back from God, we can truly serve God with a purpose. Our limitations and our weaknesses become something that God can wonderfully work through rather than roadblocks on the path to discipleship. Brothers and sisters, are we going to keep Jesus at a safe distance? Are we truly going to let him be the driving force in our lives? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds and help us to be free of our need to possess stuff. That there are so many objects that we place value in, but our chief object of value should be you, Jesus. May we find our satisfaction, our joy, our loving grace and mercy for all people through your eyes. For when we look at this world through the eyes of Christ, we see not what we lack, but what we already have. And what we already have is more than plenty and can be shared with those around us who desperately need it. In your wonderful and gracious name we pray. Amen. For our final hymn today, we're going to sing In the Bulb, There's a Flower, which is a unique one to sing since our temperatures have dropped desperately this week. But I think it's an important reminder that God truly is in all seasons. And fall is an important season, a season we love, a season I don't get to experience too much in Wisconsin since we just go from summer to winter. So I ask that you take time to appreciate God's presence, even in seasons that are sometimes more difficult to bear than the summer and the spring. But God's presence is in all places. Please rise.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.